one of the most powerful stories for me, at least in listening Below the Noise, that you shared in the book was, I think you were enthusing about silence and how wonderful it is. And you were confronted by a man from another culture where people, because of the oppressive government, oppressive culture, were forced to be silent. And he confronted you for being, you know, a privileged white woman where you could have it for fun or for enjoyment, where silence is really a weapon in his experience. How do you deal with that today?
Well, first of all, after initially being a bit taken aback and defensive about Arezier's approach, I had to, again, when he first spoke to me, I was very defensive about it. I thought he just wasn't hearing what I was saying. But fortunately, I then thought about it overnight and could seek him out the next day. And we had a beautiful conversation. And the story he had told me, which is in the book, is that he was put in solitary confinement in the Middle East as a political prisoner. The silence was a weapon that was used, and so that even though they knew when they heard the footsteps of the guards coming in their individual cells, it meant they were going to be tortured, they still, I mean, it was almost a relief to hear the footsteps because at least they were hearing something. And that's how much of a deprivation it was to be in that kind of silence. So it made me very aware, just as noise or sound can be hurtful to us, it can be damaging to our psyche, to our physical body. Sound also is used to heal. I mean, they're now using vibrational healing and tuning forks and all to heal people. Well, silence is that same thing. It can be used to heal or it can be used to hurt. It can be used to hurt in the way that it certainly was for Razer, and it can be hurt in the way we've all at some time or other probably experienced that punishing, shunning, icy silence. Exploring that with Razer was very good. Also, it made me realize that because I am a middle-class white American, there's a certain privilege just inherent in that in the world, and that I needed to articulate that silence wasn't just owned by middle-class white Americans. Silence is available to everybody, and I taught for a while in a prison. I taught women in prison creative writing. And I know what they talked about the most in some of their writings. One time we wrote a thing on noise, or on prison life, was the noise. How horrible the noise. If they could just have some quiet in jail, there was just noise, constant noise. Then I remembered some of the great writings that have come out of prison from solitary confinement. The letters from the Bermingham jail. Jack London wrote one of his books when he was in prison. Nelson Mandela. I mean, silence can be a place where we reach great truths. And it's open to anyone, and perhaps the people who can most benefit from it are those that in their daily life least have it. And it's free, and it's available, and it's not just for people who have time and space for it. We can create it. We don't need to have a certain economical, social economical place in our culture to have it. It's available and useful for everyone. And I remember I was giving a keynote somewhere, and some man in the audience said he worked cutting trees and that he would spend his lunchtime with his ear protectors on because his job was so noisy that he really needed to balance it with periods of silence. And so when everyone else was having lunch and talking, he would go off into the quiet with his ear protectors on just to let the healing silence counter the noise of his job.